Gildan Media presents Your Coach in a Box. Affordable, mind-enriching programs. Gildan Media presents Riches Now, the prosperity classics of Joseph Murphy, including How to Attract Money, Riches Are Your Right, and Believe in Yourself by Joseph Murphy. Narrated by Sean Pratt. How to Attract Money. Chapter 1. Your Right to Be Rich. It is your right to be rich. You are here to lead the abundant life and be happy, radiant, and free. You should therefore have all the money you need to lead a full, happy, prosperous life. There is no virtue in poverty. The latter is a mental disease, and it should be abolished from the face of the earth. You are here to grow, expand, and unfold spiritually, mentally, and materially. You have the inalienable right to fully develop and express yourself along all lines. You should surround yourself with beauty and luxury. Why be satisfied with just enough to go around when you can enjoy the riches of the infinite? In this book, you will learn to make friends with money, and you will always have a surplus. Your desire to be rich is a desire for a fuller, happier, more wonderful life. It is a cosmic urge. It is good and very good. Begin to see money in its true significance, as a symbol of exchange. It means to you freedom from want, and beauty, luxury, abundance, and refinement. As you listen to this chapter, you're probably saying, "I want more money. I am worthy of a higher salary than I am receiving." I believe most people are inadequately compensated. One of the causes many people do not have more money is that they are silently or openly condemning it. They refer to money as filthy lucre, or love of money is the root of all evil, etc. Another reason they do not prosper is that they have a sneaky subconscious feeling there is some virtue in poverty. This subconscious pattern may be due to early childhood training, superstition, or it could be based on a false interpretation of the scriptures. There is no virtue in poverty. It is a disease like any other mental disease. If you were physically ill, you would think there was something wrong with you. You would seek help or do something about the condition at once. Likewise, if you don't have money constantly circulating in your life, there is something radically wrong with you. Money is only a symbol. It has taken many forms as a medium of exchange down through the centuries, such as salt, beads, and trinkets of various kinds. In early times, man's wealth was determined by the number of sheep or oxen he had. It's much more convenient to write a check than to carry some sheep around with you to pay your bills. God doesn't want you to live in a hovel or go hungry. God wants you to be happy, prosperous, and successful. God is always successful in all his undertakings, whether he makes a star or a cosmos. You may wish to make a trip around the world, study art in foreign countries, go to colleges, or send your children to a superior school. You certainly wish to bring your children up in lovely surroundings, so that they may learn to appreciate beauty, order, symmetry, and proportion. You were born to succeed, to win, to conquer all difficulties, and have all your faculties fully developed. If there is financial lack in your life, do something about it. Get away immediately from all superstitious beliefs about money. Don't ever regard money as evil or filthy. If you do, you cause it to take wings and fly away from you. Remember that you lose what you condemn. Suppose, for example, you found gold, silver, lead, copper, or iron in the ground. Would you pronounce these things evil? God pronounced all things good. The evil comes from man's darkened understanding, from his unillumined mind, from his false interpretation of life, and his misuse of divine power. Uranium, lead, or some other metal could have been used as a medium of exchange. We use paper bills, checks, etc. Surely the piece of paper is not evil, neither is the check. Physicists and scientists know today that the only difference between one metal and another is the number and rate of motion of the electrons revolving around a central nucleus. They are now changing one metal into another through a bombardment of the atoms in the powerful cyclotron. Gold, under certain conditions, becomes mercury. It will only be a little while until gold, silver, and other metals will be made synthetically in the chemical laboratory. I cannot imagine seeing anything evil in electrons, neutrons, protons, and isotopes. The piece of paper in your pocket is composed of electrons and protons arranged differently. Their number and rate of motion is different. That is the only way the paper differs from the silver in your pocket. Some people will say, "Oh, people kill for money. They steal for money." It has been associated with countless crimes, but that does not make it evil. A man may give you $50 to kill someone. He has misused money in using it for a destructive purpose. You can use electricity to kill someone or light the house. You can use water to quench the baby's thirst or use it to drown the child. You can use fire to warm the child or burn it to death. Another illustration would be if you brought some earth from your garden, put it in your coffee cup for breakfast. That would be your evil. Yet the earth is not evil. Neither is the coffee. The earth is displaced. It belongs in your garden. Similarly, if a needle were stuck in your thumb, it would be your evil. The needle or pin belongs in the pin cushion, not in your thumb. We know the forces or the elements of nature are not evil. It depends on our use of them, whether they bless or hurt us. A man said to me one time, "I am broke. I don't like money. It's the root of all evil." Love of money, to the exclusion of everything else, will cause you to become lopsided and unbalanced. You are here to use your power or authority wisely. Some men crave power, others crave money. If you set your heart on money and say, "That is all I want. I am going to give all my attention to amassing money. Nothing else matters." You can get money and attain a fortune, but you have forgotten that you are here to lead a balanced life. Man does not live by bread alone. For example, if you belong to some cult or religious group and become fanatical about it, excluding yourself from your friends, society, and social activities, you will become unbalanced, inhibited, and frustrated. Nature insists on a balance. If all your time is devoted to external things and possessions, you will find yourself hungry for peace of mind, harmony, love, joy, or perfect health. You will find you cannot buy anything that is real. You can amass a fortune or have millions of dollars. This is not evil or bad. Love of money to the exclusion of everything else results in frustration, disappointment, and disillusionment. In that sense, it is the root of your evil. By making money your sole aim, you simply made a wrong choice. You thought that was all you wanted, but you found, after all your efforts, that it was not only the money you needed. What you really desired was true place, peace of mind, and abundance. You could have the million or many millions if you wanted them, and still have peace of mind, harmony, perfect health, and divine expression. Everyone wants enough money, and not just enough to go around. He wants abundance and despair. He should have it. The urges, desires, and impulses we have for food, clothing, homes, better means of transportation, expression, procreation, and abundance are all God-given, divine, and good. But We may misdirect these impulses, desires, and urges, resulting in evil or negative experiences in our lives. Man does not have an evil nature. There is no evil nature in you. It is God, the universal wisdom, or life, seeking expression through you. For example, a boy wants to go to college, but he doesn't have enough money. He sees other boys in the neighborhood going off to college and the university. His desire increases. He says to himself, "I want an education too." Such a youth may steal and embezzle money for the purpose of going to college. The desire to go to college was basically and fundamentally good. He misdirected that desire or urge by violating the laws of society, the cosmic law of harmony, or the golden rule. Then he finds himself in trouble. However, if this boy knew the laws of mind and his unqualified capacity through the use of the spiritual power to go to college, he would be free and not in jail. Who put him in jail? He placed himself there. The policeman who locked him up in prison was an instrument of the man-made laws which he violated. He first imprisoned himself in his mind by stealing and hurting others. Fear and a guilt consciousness followed. This is the prison of the mind, followed by the prison walls made of bricks and stones. Money is a symbol of God's opulence, beauty, refinement, and abundance, and it should be used wisely, judiciously, and constructively to bless humanity in countless ways. It is merely a symbol of the economic health of the nation. When your blood is circulating freely, you are healthy. When money is circulating freely in your life, you are economically healthy. When people begin to hoard money, to put it away in tin boxes, and become charged with fear, there is economic illness. The crash of 1929 was a psychological panic. It was fear seizing the minds of people everywhere. It was a sort of negative, hypnotic spell. You are living in a subjective and objective world. You must not neglect the spiritual food, such as peace of mind, love, beauty, harmony, joy, and laughter. Knowledge of the spiritual power is the means to the royal road to riches of all kinds, whether your desire is spiritual, mental, or material. The student of the laws of mind, or the student of the spiritual principle, believes and knows absolutely that regardless of the economic situation, stock market fluctuation, depression, strikes, war, other conditions or circumstances, he will always be amply supplied, regardless of what form money may take. The reason for this is he abides in the consciousness of wealth. The student has convinced himself in his mind that wealth is forever flowing freely in his life, and that there is always a divine surplus. Should there be a war tomorrow, and all the student's present holdings become valueless, as the German marks did after the First World War, he would still attract wealth and be cared for regardless of the form the new currency took. Wealth is a state of consciousness. It is a mind conditioned to divine supply forever flowing. The scientific thinker looks at money or wealth like a tide. That is, it goes out, but it always comes back. The tides never fail. Neither will man supply when he trusts a tireless, changeless, immortal presence, which is omnipresent and flows ceaselessly. The man who knows the workings of the subconscious mind is never, therefore, worried about the economic situation, stock market panics, devaluation, or inflation of currency, since he abides in the consciousness of God's eternal supply. Such a man is always supplied and watched over by an overshadowing presence. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. As you consciously commune with the divine presence, claiming and knowing that it leads and guides you in all your ways, that it is a lamp unto your feet and a light on your path, you will be divinely prospered and sustained beyond your wildest dreams. Here's a simple way for you to impress your subconscious mind with the idea of constant supply or wealth. Quiet the wheels of your mind. Relax. Let go. Immobilize the attention. Get into a sleepy, drowsy, meditative state of mind. This reduces effort to the minimum. Then, in a quiet, relaxed, passive way, reflect on the following simple truths. Ask yourself, where do ideas come from? Where does wealth come from? Where did you come from? And where did your brain and your mind come from? You will be led back to the one source. You find yourself on a spiritual working basis now. It will no longer insult your intelligence to realize that wealth is a state of mind. Take this little phrase. Repeat it slowly, 4 or 5 minutes, 3 or 4 times a day, quietly to yourself, particularly before you go to sleep. Money is forever circulating freely in my life, and there is always a divine surplus. As you do this regularly and systematically, the idea of wealth will be conveyed to your deeper mind, and you will develop a wealth consciousness. Idle, mechanical repetition will not succeed in building the consciousness of wealth. Begin to feel the truth of what you affirm. You know what you are doing and why you are doing it. You know your deeper self is responsive to what you consciously accept as true. In the beginning, people who are in financial difficulties do not get results with such affirmations as, I am wealthy, I am prosperous, I am successful. Such statements may cause their conditions to get worse. The reason is, the subconscious mind will only accept the dominant of two ideas, or the dominant mood or feeling. When they say, I am prosperous, their feeling of lack is greater, and something within them says, no, you are not prosperous, you are broke. The feeling of lack is dominant so that each affirmation calls forth the mood of lack, and more lack becomes theirs. The way to overcome this for beginners is to affirm what the conscious and subconscious mind will agree on. Then, there will be no contradiction. Our subconscious mind accepts our beliefs, feelings, convictions, and what we consciously accept as true. A man could engage the cooperation of his subconscious mind by saying, I am prospering every day. I am growing in wealth and in wisdom every day. Every day, my wealth is multiplying. I am advancing, growing, and moving forward financially. These and similar statements would not create any conflict in the mind. For instance, if a salesman has only 10 cents in his pocket, he could easily agree that he would have more tomorrow. If he sold a pair of shoes tomorrow, there is nothing within him which says his sales could not increase. He could use statements such as, "My sales are increasing every day. I am advancing and moving forward." He would find these would be sound psychologically, acceptable to his mind, and produce desirable fruit. The spiritually advanced student who quietly, knowingly, and feelingly says, I am prosperous, I am successful, I am wealthy, gets wonderful results also. Why would this be true? When they think, feel, or say, I am prosperous, they mean God is all supply or infinite riches, and what is true of God is true of them. When they say, I am wealthy, they know God is infinite supply, the inexhaustible treasure house, and what is true of God is, therefore, true of them, for God is within them. Many men get wonderful results by dwelling on three abstract ideas, such as health, wealth, and success. Health is a divine reality or quality of God. Wealth is of God. It is eternal and endless. Success is of God. God is always successful in all his undertakings. The way they produce remarkable results is to stand before a mirror as they shave and repeat for 5 or 10 minutes, health, wealth, and success. They do not say, I am healthy or I am successful, they create no opposition in their minds. They are quiet and relaxed. Thus the mind is receptive and passive. Then they repeat these words. Amazing results follow. All they are doing is identifying with truths that are eternal, changeless, and timeless. You can develop a wealth consciousness. Put the principles enunciated and elaborated on in this book to practice, and your desert will rejoice and blossom as the rose. I worked with a young boy in Australia many years ago who wanted to become a physician and surgeon, but he had no money, nor had he graduated from high school. For expenses, he used to clean out doctor's offices, wash windows, and do odd repair jobs. He told me that every night as he went to sleep, he used to see a diploma on a wall with his name in big, bold letters. He used to clean and shine the diplomas in the medical building where he worked. It was not hard for him to engrave the diploma in his mind and develop it there. I don't know how long he continued this imaging, but it must have been for some months. Results followed as he persisted. One of the doctors took a great liking to this young boy, and after training him in the art of sterilizing instruments, giving hypodermic injections and other miscellaneous first aid work, he became a technical assistant in his office. The doctor sent him to high school and also to college at his expense. Today, this man is a prominent doctor in Montreal, Canada. He had a dream, a clear image in his mind. His wealth was in his mind. Wealth is your idea, desire, talent, urge for service, capacity to give to mankind, your ability for usefulness to society, and your love for humanity in general. This young boy operated a great law unconsciously. Troward says, having seen the end, you have willed the means to the realization of the end. The end, in this boy's case, was to be a physician. To imagine, see, and feel the reality of being a doctor now, to live with that idea, sustain it, nourish it, and to love it until, through his imagination, it penetrated the layers of the subconscious, becoming a conviction, paved the way to the fulfillment of his dreams. He could have said, I have no education. I don't know the right people. I am too old to go to school now. I have no money. It would take years, and I am not intelligent. He would then be beaten before he started. His wealth was in his use of the spiritual power within him, which responded to his thought. The means, or the way in which our prayer is answered, is always hidden from us, except that occasionally we may intuitively perceive a part of the process. My ways are past finding out. The ways are not known. The only thing man has to do is to imagine and accept the end in his mind and leave its unfoldment to the subjective wisdom within. Sometimes the question is asked, what should I do after meditating on the end and accepting my desire and consciousness? The answer is simple. You will be compelled to do whatever is necessary for the unfoldment of your ideal. The law of the subconscious is compulsion. The law of life is action and reaction. What we do is the automatic response to our inner movements of the mind, inner feeling, and conviction. A few months ago, as I went to sleep, I imagined I was reading one of my most popular books, titled Magic of Faith, in French. I began to realize and imagine this book going into all French-speaking nations. For several weeks, I did this every night, falling asleep with the imaginary French edition of Magic of Faith in my hands. Just before Christmas in 1954, I received a letter from a leading publisher in Paris, France, enclosing a contract drawn up, asking me to sign it, giving him permission to publish and promote abroad to all French-speaking countries the French edition of Magic of Faith. You might ask me, what did I do about the publishing of this book after prayer? I would have to say, nothing. The subjective wisdom took over, and it brought it to pass in its own way, which was a far better way than any method I could consciously desire. All of our external movements, motions, and actions follow the inner movements of the mind. Inner action precedes all outer action. Whatever steps you take physically, or what you seem to do objectively, will all be a part of a pattern which you were compelled to fulfill. Accepting the end wills the means to the realization of the end. Believe that you have it now, and you shall receive it. We must cease denying our good. Realize that the only thing that keeps us from the riches that lie all around us is our mental attitude or the way we look at God, life, and the world in general. Know, believe, and act on the positive assumption that there is no reason why you cannot have, be, and do whatever you wish to accomplish through the great laws of God. Your knowledge of how your mind works is your Savior and Redeemer. Thought and feeling are your destiny. You possess everything by right of consciousness. The consciousness of health produces health. The consciousness of wealth produces wealth. The world seems to deny or oppose what you pray for. Your senses sometimes mock and laugh at you. If you say to your friend, "You are opening up a new business for yourself," he may proceed to give you all the reasons why you are bound to fail. If you are susceptible to his hypnotic spell, he may instill fear of failure in your mind. As you become aware of the spiritual power, which is one and indivisible, and responds to your thought, you will reject the darkness and ignorance of the world, and know that you possess all the equipment, power, and knowledge to succeed. To walk on the royal road to riches, you must not place obstacles and impediments on the pathways of others. Neither must you be jealous or envious of others. Actually, when you entertain these negative states of mind, you are hurting and injuring yourself because you are thinking and feeling it. The suggestion, as Quimby said, you give to another, you are giving to yourself. This is the reason that the law of the Golden Rule is a cosmic divine law. I am sure you have heard men say, "That fellow has a racket. He is a racketeer. He is getting money dishonestly. He's a faker. I knew him when he had nothing. He is crooked, a thief, and a swindler." If you analyze the man who talks like that, he is usually in want or suffering from some financial or physical illness. Perhaps his former college friends went up the ladder of success and excelled him. Now he is bitter and envious of their progress. In many instances, this is the cause of his downfall. Thinking negatively of these classmates and condemning their wealth causes the wealth and prosperity he is praying for to vanish and flee away. He is condemning the things he is praying for. He is praying two ways. On the one hand, he is saying, "God is prospering me," and in the next breath, silently or audibly, he is saying, "I resent that fellow's wealth." Always make it a special point to bless the other person and rejoice in his prosperity and success. When you do, you bless and prosper yourself. If you go into the bank and you see your competitor across the street deposit 20 times more than you do, or you see him deposit $10,000, rejoice and be exceedingly glad to see God's abundance being manifested through one of his sons. You are then blessed and exalting what you are praying for. What you bless, you multiply. What you condemn, you lose. If you are working in a large organization, and you are silently thinking and resenting the fact you are underpaid, that you are not appreciated, and that you deserve more money and greater recognition, you are subconsciously severing your ties with that organization. You are setting a law in motion. When the superintendent or manager says to you, "We have to let you go," you dismissed yourself. The manager was simply the instrument through which your own negative mental state was confirmed. In other words, he was a messenger telling you what you conceived as true about yourself. It was an example of the law of attraction and reaction. The action was the internal movement of your mind. The reaction was the response of the outer world to conform to your inner thinking. Perhaps, as you listen to this, you are thinking of someone.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?